To everyone here and everyone out there. I know there's some people out there. So, again, we are... Oops, I have to admit a bunch of people. Baruch Hashem. So we are, again, anyone who's on Zoom, please, if you could mute yourself, again, unless you have a question. And please speak up. So, again, we're on page 69, right in the middle of the lines of the Mechaber, right before Yud Gimel. So the cases that we're referring to is two cases. One we covered basically yesterday, and that is what happens if you borrow tefillin. And specifically the question is, could you make a bracha over said tefillin? So the Mechaber said, yes, you could. And again, we discussed about even borrowing without permission, because there's an assumption that somebody would want you to use their tefillin. Now, again, if you know the person is not like that, so then that's a different story. But again, that's the assumption. And again, that does not mean you could take them somewhere else. That does not mean you could just leave it unwrapped. That means you have to put them back the way they are and not take them elsewhere. The second case, which we didn't touch on yet, I just teased a little yesterday, velo al gizulin, and you're not allowed to make a bracha on tefillin that are stolen. Right? So, you know, hey, bud, you want a bracha? Right? So the Mishnah Berurah explains why. Because the classic idea of mitzvah haba be'avera. You're doing a mitzvah, but it came through the vehicle of an avera. Right? So, again, we're not going to get into this right now. But again, in America we say the ends justifies the means. So we know that the Torah does not agree with that, right? Again, not to get into drushes here, but there's a famous word, tzedek tzedek tirdof. Why does it say justice, justice you should pursue? Answer is even the path to justice has to be just, right? A lot of people, again, justify, well, the ends is okay. So the answer is no. Classic line of mitzvah above avera. You're doing a mitzvah, but the means to get there, stolen tefillin. Then the Mishnah Berurah begins, again, if those of you who learn Gemara know that there's such a concept called yeyush. Yeyush means someone lost something or something was stolen from them, which is really the same thing. And the original owner is miyayish, gives up any hope of possible retrieval. Of recovery. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even if the original owner was miyayish, the original owner from whom the tefillin was stolen has already given up any hope of possible retrieval, even bidyeved, you did not fulfill the mitzvah on those tefillin. Even though, again, you know, the guy gave up hope on them. So then take it one step further in the saga of the stolen tefillin. It's unbelievable. Do you see today? Today, somebody found a Sefer Torah lying on the street somewhere, I think on the other side of town. You see that? It's like crazy. Sefer Torah lying. Okay, so anyway, so again, somebody stole, not lost, stole tefillin, and the original owner gave up. Not good enough. But then let's add another ingredient, and that is the thief sold the tefillin to someone else. So, again, if you learn these Gemaras, the idea is it's yush and shinurishus. Now, again, the caveat is that it has to be all this happened. The shinurishus happened after the yush. The sale was after, which is the same thing, was after the yeush. In other words, the guy gave up possible hope of retrieval, and then the thief sold the tefillin to someone else. So then it's what we call yeush and shinu reshus, and the Magen Avraham says, and the Maksa Sasheko say that in that case, the second person, the buyer, since we have those two ingredients, yosh and shin reshus, says that they hold that the buyer could make a bracha. But the Mishnah Berurah brings it down that the Taz and the Vilna Gaon disagree with this, and they say it's still usur. That even in this case, it's still usur. But it seems like that the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Vilna Gaon holds that's as far as the bracha is concerned. But as far as being yotz of the mitzvah, you're yotz of the mitzvah after Yeosh and Shinarishus. Now, why should the bracha be any different? In other words, according to the Gra, we're making a split. You fulfill the mitzvah, you shouldn't make a bracha. So the answer is there's a bracha, there's a pasuk, Boaz Beirach Hashem. In other words, somebody who's doing something disgusting, the kicks, you know, is praising God. So in other words, how can you praise Hashem, make a bracha over these tefillin? They're ill-begotten. So I didn't steal them, and you know, but still, the mitzvah, right? So it's unseemly, if you want to use that, the terminology. Right, and the Gra says, because, you know, by you taking them, now they're further away, so that you accomplish something by you buying them, so to speak. Now, but the Mishnah Berurah comes out that, let's say, somebody bought it from the buyer. In other words, so somebody stole the. Oops, sorry, didn't let him in. Sorry about that. I wasn't watching the screen. Didn't let somebody in. Again, so the scenario is like this: somebody, Rahman Aslan, stole tefillin. The original owner gave up, was Miyayish. Then the thief sold it to Reuven. Okay, so Reuven has his own separate shilas, all right? Could he make a bracha? Could he not make a bracha? Is it proper? Is it unseemly? Is it, right? But then for whatever reason, Reuven sold the tefillin to Shimon. So now, again, so Shimon is the second buyer. And again, the original owner was Miyayish. There's a Shinur Rishus already twice. It's changed. It doesn't belong to the thief anymore. It's not in the thief's possession. It's not even the buyer from the thief. It's a second person. So the Mishnah Berurah says that person, he says Nira, it seems that he could make a bracha. The third guy. Now again, I would think that's probably, makes a lot of sense because the third guy, the second buyer, you know, probably doesn't know, you know, he's just buying a pair of tefillin, you know, like, yeah, what does he know? So for all these years, he's making a bracha. You know, I was thinking about this, about the second guy also. You know, like, some guy comes up to him and says, yeah, you want to buy it? So again, maybe he should have been suspicious. I don't know. We're going to talk about this when we talk about writing tefillin. So the main criteria of buying tefillin is buying from somebody who's reliable. Because, you know, like, it's very scary, you know, the tefillin could be puzzled for some reason. A sofer showed me a few years ago that there was a beautiful mezuzah. Show me the mezuzah. It looked gorgeous. Totally puzzle. Why? Because he showed me, they found the police, I think he had it somehow. It was a metal stencil, completely with perfect. And they put it on a piece of cloth, spray it, looks perfect. And there's basically no way to tell. What?
It had lines on it as well.
Yeah, yeah. There was cloth and there's sirtud and everything. No way to tell. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you look really closely, you could tell it's not so ray. I don't know. Maybe they had a certain spray that it was a little ray. You know, so like how you know? So somebody buys it for a lot of money. You know. With tmimus and I hangs it up and you know like a turns out they're not a kind of you know like I don't know how Hashem judges that you know like I mean again the person who stole manufactured those you know that's burning extra crispy but you know like it's the same thing with anything you know like you have to be careful that's the only way to prevent this. Okay, Yud Gimel, something I think you're all familiar with. Now, it's very interesting, as you could see, that the Mechaber starts off Nahagu. It's the custom, right? Nahagu ha'olam, as they say, the Velt is Noyig. Shalom la'achlot tefillin ad achar kedushas uvalasyan. That they don't take off their tefillin until the kedusha uvalasyan, right? Again, everybody here is familiar that we say a kedusha, and that kedusha de sidra is on a very high level. I think I saw that the Chazon Ish used to stand for uvalasyan, but most people don't do that. But there's a whole thing why we don't. But the kedusha that we say in uvalasyan is on an extremely high level. I say very often there's a tip off. Something that's on a high level is in Aramaic a lot of times. It's usually a tip of Rishmei, Yikum Parkum, believe it or not, is on a very, which is interesting. A big Adam Gadol told me once that, I think you've heard this from me a number of times, what was the first thing the Reform movement got rid of? So you think Kashrus, Milas, and all this type of stuff. So he told me, so Adam Gadol told me that Yikum Parkum, right? It's an Aramaic, who knows Aramaic, and it talks about a whole system, the hierarchy, which doesn't exist anymore, you know, in Babylonia, you know. If you look in the Marsham brings down that there's hidden, very lofty things that are in Yerkom Parkan, which we don't even, can't imagine. But again, you know, say, you know, it makes sense, but what's the answer? It doesn't make sense. You know, like it's an Aramaic. It's got to be a tip-off. That's, you know, even if you don't know nothing, that, you know, like it has to be something special, and it is. Like I think the Marsham brings down says Uvruus Gufo. We say it in the Yerkom Parkan. It's like you know, there's a malach or a mazik that gets you on Erev Shabbos if you get angry. I think the Marsham says, especially with husband and wife things, get angry at your wife. So there's this special, mazik that gets you. So say Ruf Gufa, that helps you, heals you. Now that doesn't mean you should get mad at your wife, get angry, and then, okay, it'll be okay because I'll say you're Krumpakon with Kavana, you know, like it doesn't work that way. But be that as it may, so we don't take off the tefillin, that's the minog, until after the Kedusha in Uvalatzion. Now, the Mishnah Brura, before we go further, we're going to see other opinions. When is the, the earliest, if you want to say it, that you could take off your tefillin. Now, obviously, the person has to go to the bathroom, and then, so you take off your tefillin, you know, like, but here we're talking about, like, normal circumstances. Now again, first of all, I have the backdrop that some people used to wear tefillin all the time in the good old days. Those were the good old days, you remember, right? But there's a very interesting Mishnah Brura in Nun Hei. If you look at the beginning of Mishnah Brura in Nun Hei, it's very, very interesting. And the Mishnah Brura brings this down, as you can see from the Magen Avraham. V'yeshin she'im ashin aleim yosu min achiv. Some people take off their tefillin, as soon as possible, but they don't keep the tefillin on more than is obligated. Why? The tzrichim guf naki. Because as we know, you need a clean body and clean mind. And that ain't so simple. So again, this Mishnah Brura is a very interesting Mishnah Brura. So in other words, it's off, it's counter. It's counter to what people think, right? People think, oh, you know, somebody keeps their tefillin on longer. Again, the person might be a tzaddik. I'm not, you know, Rav Scheinberg was, you know, like a tzaddik, tzaddik, kadosh lebracha was a kadosh lebracha, right? Yeah, in a different. But again, for most people, I think to keep your tefillin on longer, again, Rav Kinnerik also, you know, like a. But I'm not. Audacious enough to assume I'm on Rabbi Kinnerik's Madrega, right? Those of you who met Rabbi Kinnerik. You know, like, you're talking about people in a different orbit than I am. So, this is, I think, the general hashkafa, which I was machunach in, is that, I mean, again, you don't hurry up and take off your tefillin, But, you know, like, you take them off pretty, you know, you don't keep them on that long. Why? Because you have to have a mindset. You have to have a body set. So I think that's why the Mishnah Berurah brings it down first. And he says, it's based upon, the person. And then the next line of Mishnah Berurah says, this is the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day. Right? Because, you know, like, can't assume that, you know. So again, or Scheinberg, or Roy Kinnerich, Zekar Tzadikim Levrach, you know, like, but I am not audacious enough to assume that I'm like them. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, in that same Mishnah Berurah, and we'll see more opinions, but here's a second opinion. So here we got until after the Kedusha, until after the Kedusha of Uvol Etzion, right? So after Kadosh Kadosh, or Hashem Yimloch, Olam Voed, you can take off your tefillin. Now the Mishnah Berurah here, again in Nun Hei, brings down from the Arizal that you shouldn't take off your tefillin until after Al Kein Ka, until after Aleinu. Now, and then the Mishnah Berurah brings down something interesting. V'yom she'esh bo milo, ro oish lo lachlotz ad achra milo. That if there's a bris in the shul, right after Shacharis, so you should leave your tefillin on until after the bris. Ki milo ki os utfillin heim os. Because the milo is an os. And also tefillin are an os. So, I didn't realize. We're running a little over time. So, Emirat Hashem will continue this issue about taking off tefillin. Emirat Hashem tomorrow, Emirat Hashem, believe me. Okay, Yashkoach, everyone. Yashkoach. Emirat Hashem.